It's been more than 25 years since zebra mussels were detected in the Great Lakes, and since then they've spread to a number of lakes across the state.
A lot has changed since then, including the way state officials try to manage all sorts of invasive species.
As we head into the summer boating season, we decided to take a look at the history of zebra mussels in the Great Lakes region and how we can avoid spreading the invasive species to other lakes.
Tim Campbell is with us now. He's an aquatic invasive species specialist with the UW Extension Environmental Resources Center. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Judith.
So, can you give us a quick history of zebra mussels in the Great Lakes? How did they get here, first of all?
Well, they first got here through the ballast water of transoceanic shipping vessels. And if you're unfamiliar with ballast water, large shipping vessels need to take in ballast to help them sit lower in the water. Mm-hmm. It's more stable. It's a safer way to travel. But unfortunately, you're not just bringing in water. You're bringing in all the organisms with that water. And as they make their trip across the ocean, then when they get rid of that ballast to unload their cargo and load new cargo on, they're releasing all those species into the environment. So that's how we got a lot of our invasive species in the Great Lakes.
And do we know where those zebra mussels came from?
Yes, they came from the Ponto-Caspian region of Europe. So that's the Black Sea and Caspian Sea, Eastern Europe, Western Asia.
So basically, these invasive species get sucked up into the ballast tanks, get transported over large distances, and then just get released.
Yep, and a lot of what we have in the Great Lakes from the Ponto-Caspian region, zebra mussels, quagga mussels, round goby, spiny water fleas, those things all come from an environment that's just very similar to the Great Lakes. So it's really interesting to see kind of the global patterns of what ends up in the Great Lakes.
So we hear a lot, and we certainly used to hear a lot about zebra mussels. They've kind of in some ways become a poster child for invasive species here in Wisconsin. What is it about them that kind of gave them that status?
Zebra mussels, I think, were one of the first invasive species to really impact, or at least aquatic invasive species, to really impact everyone. We certainly had aquatic invasive species before that. If I were to, you know, kind of start my story of aquatic invasive species in the United States, that would go all the way back to, you know, common carp in the mid-1800s, early 1800s. You know, there were probably things even before that. We intentionally brought the common carp over because we thought it would be a great food fish. I think Isaac Walton called it the queen of the rivers. We quickly realized we didn't want it. But Eurasian water milfoil, curly leaf pondweed, they've been here since the mid-1800s. Sea lamprey and alewives in the Great Lakes were an issue in the early 1900s, in the 1950s. And so we've been dealing with aquatic invasive species, but it didn't really create the field of invasion biology like zebra mussels did. And I think that's because, well, like I said, it impacted everyone. People that maybe just weren't out on the water doing things, like a power company, they experienced the impacts of zebra mussels because their water intake pipes would become clogged with the mussels and they'd spend millions of dollars keeping those pipes clean. Of course, boaters have experienced the impacts of zebra mussels because the mussels will clog the engines and require maintenance, oftentimes costly maintenance, to get rid of them. And then, you know, beachgoers and property owners, you know, also just don't like their beaches fouled with mussels. So it's something that really everyone felt the impacts of.
So we're talking about the impacts on everyone, meaning human beings. What about other species? How do invasive species affect native species?
So kind of our standard definition of invasive species is that it's a non-native species, so not from here, that causes ecological harm, economic harm, or harm to human health. So everything I just talked about was kind of economic harm or how it impacts people. But ecological harm, a lot of our non-native invasive species will, you know, drive down populations of native species by, you know, competing for food, resources, space. And they can shift nutrient flows. Like if we look at the Great Lakes, back before zebra mussels and quagga mussels were present, a lot of the energy was in the pelagic zone or just the open water. So we saw fish swimming around in the open water, eating small fish. But now most of that energy gets tied up in the benthos or the bottom of the lake. And so we see kind of this interaction with zebra mussels and quagga mussels causing cladophora blooms and more algae on the lakes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Chinook salmon and coho salmon, which are also not native species, but they have less food. And we're seeing shifts in the kind of fish people can catch and fish for in the Great Lakes.
So how long has the state of Wisconsin had an active plan or program to try and control, especially aquatic invasives?
So Wisconsin's first aquatic invasive species management plan was finished in 2002, implemented in 2003. And so it took about 10 years for us to kind of figure out that, hey, aquatic invasive species are definitely something we should be addressing.
I have to say I'm really surprised it was that recent.
Yeah, it seems like this is just, well, yeah, it just seems like this has been a problem for a long time. But invasion biology and the acts of managing aquatic invasive species is really pretty recent. So we've been here in Wisconsin and states across the country working on management plans, a lot of which were drafted kind of in the early 2000s. Here in Wisconsin, I'm actually leading the effort to revise our management plan to kind of update that. Our first management plan was really how do we create a program to manage invasive species? And now this next one that I should have had done like months ago, but will hopefully be done soon. It will help us move kind of forward into, you know, what do we do to make our program better? How do we stop new pathways and, you know, start to address things other than zebra mussels?
So how are we most effective in containing or, because it seems like eliminating invasive species is probably not possible, but in controlling them, what have we learned in the last decade about successful control?
So I think everyone has heard this saying at one point in time, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We can do some things once invasive species get here. There are control options available, but they're really expensive and just, you know, eradicating a species, difficult and expensive. So prevention is the best way to deal with invasive species. And that's how I think we've been leaders in managing AIS here in Wisconsin, is we invest a lot of money.
Aquatic invasive species.
Sorry, aquatic invasive species. Live in my own little lingo world. We invest a lot of money in invasive species prevention. And so we have a boater outreach program, Clean Boats, Clean Waters, where we have volunteers and paid staff out on the boat launches, educating boaters, letting them know what they can do to prevent the spread of invasive species and helping to remind them to take those steps, because recreational boaters are the number one secondary invasion pathway of invasive species. So primary invasion would be ballast water, but once they're here, the boats move them around.
We're talking with Tim Campbell. He's an aquatic invasive species specialist with the UW Extension Environmental Resources Center. So you say that obviously Wisconsin has a plan and that plan's being updated and that you talk with other states. Where would you say we stand in how effective our approaches have been and what have we learned from other states?
So as far as the effectiveness of our approach, we're actually the first state in the country that we know of to implement a plan to try to assess how effective we are with our outreach approach. We used 5 years of really intensive monitoring to try to figure out what our rate of spread is here in Wisconsin and have used that to, you know, assess how effective our outreach is. And we found that the rate of spread of invasive species is stable over the past 5 years, which doesn't sound like really exciting news, but that's actually a good reflection of our outreach efforts, because if we did nothing, the rate of spread would dramatically increase over time. So I think we're doing really well. And then we learn a lot from other states through regional panels like the Great Lakes Aquatic Nuisance Species Panel and the Mississippi River Aquatic Nuisance Species Panel. We all get together a couple of times a year just to talk about our approaches, see where we're having issues, and then, you know, each agree to provide resources to help address those common issues.
And we were hearing a lot a year or so ago about the Asian carp and the risk of them making it to the Great Lakes. And I think it was the Des Plaines River in Illinois. They thought they had been detected. Where are we at with that? Because it seems like we haven't heard that much recently.
I'm not totally up to date on where we are with that. I do know that the GLMRIS, the Great Lakes Mississippi River Interbasin Study, they proposed a few alternatives to, you know, closing the lock and the Chicago area waterway system. And so I think it's up to Congress now to consider some of those different alternatives. And I think the Army Corps also needs to recommend one. But as far as we know, silver and bighead carp have not gone through the Chicago area waterway system into Lake Michigan. Unfortunately, we just did find another species of Asian carp, grass carp, in the St. Lawrence Seaway, and they've also been documented reproducing in Lake Erie. So they're not the jumping carp, but they're very similar to the species that we're really concerned about.
So it sounds like there's always another challenge on the horizon.
There's always another challenge in invasion biology.
Well, Tim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Tim Campbell, talking about the history of zebra mussels in the Great Lakes and Wisconsin's approach to managing them. He's an aquatic invasive species specialist with the UW Extension Environmental Resources Center.